Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jordan open. Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Anything's possible.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys NBA podcast. My name is Mitchell Casey and I am joined with Callum Mack. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty well, man. How are you going?
I'm doing good. I'm well rested. We've had a week off with the All-Star break. Kicked our feet up. You know, had a break from Basel, but we're back in the game. Things are happening. News is flying. Did you enjoy the break?
It was good to have a bit of a break where I didn't have the burden of, well, I guess just that bad feeling of missing a game or missing a few games. It was good from a fan's point of view to have a few days off.
Yeah, and you went on a bit of a holiday as well, mate. You went down to Tassie.
Yep, that's right. I went off the mainland of Australia down to the island of Tasmania and had a great time. Did a lot of activities, bit of hiking, so I've come back a bit sunburnt too, surprisingly.
Oh, taking too many photos with your shirt off, mate. I see.
Look, guilty.
It's a good time to have a little getaway with not much happening in the NBA world, but things are flying hard and fast this past week now. So we're going to get stuck into it. We're going to start off the podcast just going over our All-Star picks. We had a bit of a draft on the week before the All-Star game and players that we picked for our team. Now, we had a couple of unfortunate news with several of our players being pulled out last minute. You had Devin Booker who didn't play, and I also had setting. I also had the 76ers, Ben Simmons and Embiid who were late scratches as well because of COVID. So kind of messed around with our scoring a little bit there. So I haven't included Mike Conley's score in our total score. And obviously Ben and Joel didn't contribute anything. But we had a close matchup in terms of our points with all things decided. But you've managed to narrowly edge me out. 160 to my 157. So tip my hat off to you, mate. You've done all right there. Anything
it
to say?
Went down to the wire, didn't it? Like, I think I had D. Lillard probably hit that clutch three for me to seal the win.
So. Literally, it was that last three. That's what sealed it. Like if we had just a couple more points from the other team, from my guys, that would have got me over the line. And I'm happy with my boys doing a courageous effort with Joel, obviously, and Ben not playing. That might have pushed me over the edge, but you know. You can't deal with that. So Giannis did his best to get my team on the line. But no dice.
Surprising. 16 of 16 field goal.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. So shout out to him. MVP.
Yeah, didn't miss. So yeah, had a good game. But your thoughts on the All-Star game in general before we move on to the other competitions?
It was fun. It was fun to watch. I understand the competitiveness wasn't quite there, but it's still so many good players.
Yeah, it wasn't like last year.
You can go and see. No, that's a downside. There wasn't the last year went really right down to the wire, so you could tell they were actually trying on defense, especially for that last play. But this one wasn't as close, sadly. But it was still fun to see those guys out there.
Yeah, it was still fun. I mean, I've never really been a big All-Star game fan. I prefer like the Saturday competitions a little bit more. But yeah, it's just, you know, a bit of a muck around and you get to see some good athletic plays. Speaking of those Saturday night competitions, we picked our winners for these competitions, the 3-point, the skills and dunk contest. And maybe we should just ask you from now on, because you did all right. Yeah. obviously, you've picked Steph Curry, who's come out, you know, probably no surprise there. But one of the big surprises that you did pick was the Sabonis to win the skills competition. So, well done there, mate. So, with that and the All-Star game combined, you were 3-0 against me on the weekend. So, I have to bow down to you, mate. Well done.
I'm doing pretty well. I'm pretty happy with it. Steph was a no-brainer. Let's face it. That's the safe bet.
Yeah.
I was lucky to have the first pick on the three-point comp test. But, Sabonis was... I told everyone he could definitely do it. Don't be surprised. Yeah. He can do it all. He's reasonably quick as well, so he gets up and down the court and can hit that three. So, good work, Sabonis. He's on my fantasy team, too. He's really doing everything for me.
Yeah, oh, he's having a big year for you, mate. He's coming through. And I feel like the big guys try a bit harder in that competition as well. So it's always like they've got a point to prove. I thought Chris Paul would have something to prove, but obviously not to be. And neither of us picked the dunk contest winner. You know, we had three players to choose from. We both chose the other two that didn't win. Although I think my guy was robbed. I think, I can't remember the guy's name now, but he had some good dunks there. You know, between the legs dunk, that was pretty legit. I thought he got robbed on that. And, Anthony Simons, probably not the most exciting dunk contest ever though. So, is what it is.
Underwhelming. The between the legs one was probably my favorite of all the dunks.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, pretty underwhelming, as even it that. Generally is. It makes the good years even better, though. You have the disappointing ones to make the good ones better.
the disappointing ones make the ones that much sweeter. So I guess the last question regarding the All-Star was, what was your highlight from the weekend, if you had to pick out one?
I want to do a bit of a fact for you. A bit of highlight kind of stat.
Yeah.
We got LeBron James is now 4-0. Team LeBron.
Yeah,
is he a genius? Does he know the better players to get?
GM LeBron. Yeah, he's got a GM job lined up after he's finished playing, so I don't know. Look, I will say that I feel like he gets the cards stacked in his favor all the time. Like the fact that he got to pick Giannis as well as like himself to start with two players before Tim Durant got any. I think that was a bit stupid. And a few times Giannis had to pick, you know, Chris Middleton first and things like that. So, look, I feel like he's had it, you know, handed it to him a few times. But, you know, got to give him credit.
Yeah, look, that's a fair point. That is 100% a fair point. But still 4-0, dude. 4-0.
Yeah. He's a good coach. The players want to play for him. I'll just say that my highlights for the weekend was probably the three-point contest. Obviously, Steph winning on that last shot. It was sort of exciting to sort of watch there. It's the only one that I actually managed to catch live when I had a break at work. Obviously, it was a Monday over here in Australia, so was working when the competition was on, so managed to catch that in my lunch break. And Steph, you know, you sort of never really doubted, but sort of like, oh, hold on, he's actually got to go, you know, but hit these last four out of the last five shots here, but clutched it in the end. So that was pretty exciting. The rest of it, I was sort of a bit whatever about. All right, let's move on from the All-Star game. Let's head over to the actual NBA, and we're going to be doing a bit of an MVP check-in because I think this year the race is kind of open. I don't think there's a clear front runner like we've had with Giannis in the last few years. I think there is opportunity for several guys to sort of put their hand up and win the award, depending on what happens in the second half of the season. We'll start off with who we think are our favorites. I'll throw it over to you, Cal. Who's your favorite at this point in the season?
If the season ended right now, I would still put a vote in for... Well, actually, it's changed since last time, but it's going to be Joel Embiid would be the guy who I would vote for right now. Even though he's injured, he's only going to be out for a couple weeks, but he would be my vote getter right now. Did end, and that's just because he's just been amazing. He's been super consistent. I feel like he is the front runner. This injury will hurt him, which is a shame.
Yeah.
So that really would act. This is actually going to make the race a bit more interesting.
It will, I think. So what if we took that injury into consideration and we were projecting forward rather than like the season ending right now? Would that change your decision, or do you still think that it's just, you know, a little bit of a setback and not going to hurt his chances too much? Do you think still he wins?
If I put some money on it now, I'd probably switch it to my second pick I could vote now. But if I'm going to do a full season prediction, I'd actually give it to Nikola Jokic.
Okay, interesting.
Those Nuggets have jumped up. Jamal's actually starting to play like a good, like, you know, like it was similar to the bubble, Jamal, which means they're winning games. And they've climbed up the rankings pretty well now in the Western Conference. Yeah. They are 5th seed, 23-16.
It's pretty close with a bunch of those teams, though. Yeah, it's not like they're, you know, right down compared to some of those other teams. So I can see them moving up higher as the season goes on. Here's my pick at the moment. Nikola Jokic, he's my number one pick moving forward. I've got LeBron second, who's climbed, and I've given him a little bit more respect than I did in our last podcast. And then I probably got Embiid third. Just the injury is enough to hurt him a little bit more, I think, you know, missing a couple of weeks. You know, it's something you got to throw in there. You know, thank God it wasn't a worse injury than what it was. It did look bad at the time, but yeah. So I'm in agreement. I think Nikola Jokic will get there in the end, and. Yeah, that would be a bit pretty crazy one I wouldn't have picked at the start of the year.
Yeah, like, I mean, even in fantasy as well, no one really thought that he was just going to explode like this. Like, his stats are ridiculous. Yeah. It's like 28, 11, and 9. So, 100% MVP numbers. He's even close to the league leaders in steals, getting close to 2 steals a game. So,
crazy.
There's an argument to say it's on both ends. He doesn't block shots very much, but... Otherwise, he's doing it all for that team. Yeah. He's carrying them. And look, they're getting wins now. So if you look at their record recently, I guess in their past 10 games, 7-3. So that's pretty solid. They have a lot of home games as well. I think out of the remainder of the season, they're one of the highest percentage of home games. And with Denver, we know that the attitude does actually help them. So he is lined up for a pretty good battle with Joel and also LeBron, who was my other shout-out for the MVP race.
Yeah. I think it'll be close. And I think that you could see a lot of sort of different votes from different media members between first, second, and all that sort of stuff. So I think it will come down to the wire. But looks like we're both in agreement with the big man, the Joker. Now, we want to shout out some dark horses, some players who probably haven't been getting as much, you know, love and maybe rightfully so, but maybe wrongfully so. Maybe these people need a bit more consideration. And I think that... You know, we named 3 players before in LeBron, Jokic, and Embiid. I think one of my dark horses might be my 4th pick if I had to choose them. And I could easily see them jumping into the race from here. I'll save that and I'll show it up to you. Who is your pick for the dark horse to win the MVP?
The dark horse for me is actually going to have to be... I've got 2 dark horses.
Okay, so I've got 2
I'll
as well.
One. I'm going to say Devin Booker.
Okay, yep. I like it.
Hear me out.
Okay.
They're in the 2nd seed right now.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, the Jazz have been pretty lucky with the whole injury thing. Maybe they take a step off. We know the Lakers are falling. They're going to keep kind of... They're going to obviously be a playoff team, but with Anthony Davis out, they're just going to have to stay afloat. There is a world I can imagine the Suns get the number 1 seed.
That'd be crazy.
Devin Booker, and the other thing that has to happen, obviously, Booker has to really go out there and put up pretty much like 35 points a night, which he is capable of doing. We saw Bradley Beal do that last season after the All-Star break. He just literally averaged like 35 points a game, which is, I mean, he's leading the league in scoring this season again. So I think it's possible. He's getting more comfortable with Chris Paul out there. If he racks up the points and they get the 1 seed, I mean, it's hard not to... You have to... throw him up there, at least a top 3 candidate if you have the best record in the league.
Yeah, it's interesting because he wasn't even voted as an all-star. Like it was Chris Paul who was voted in as an all-star over Devin Booker before obviously he came in with an injury. And now you're putting him up for MVP, which is interesting. Probably not someone that I considered him. I looked at Phoenix and obviously they're doing really well in terms of their record. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's a bit bold for me. Just given the nature that, you know, he wasn't voted in as an all-star initially. But maybe people, you know, saw that and went, wait, that's just disrespectful, and they'll vote him in there. My dark horse is Damian Lillard is my dark horse for the MVP. The Portland Trailblazers currently sit 6th at the moment, but have an identical record to the Denver Nuggets, who, you know, Jokic was our number 1 pick. So identical record. He has been the mainstay for that team. They've had CJ McCollum injured. They've had Nurkic injured. They've had players in and out due to COVID and things like that all season. He just dropped 50 points today. He is like, this man keeps getting it done and improves every single season. He's the second leading scorer in the entire NBA. Like, the more and more I think about it, the more and more he's like moving up my rankings. And I could even see him overtaking like a LeBron or an Embiid or something like that. And if they get players like, look, CJ McCollum is back now. Nurkic is only a couple of weeks away. So their team is going to get better. They're going to improve their rankings in terms of the standings. You know, they could take over Denver. They could take over, you know, the Lakers with Davis out and I don't know, the Clippers if they fall a little bit. I could see them being a sort of a top four seed if all things sort of go their way. And I think he has to be considered there. So that's my dark horse pick, Damian Lillard. What are your thoughts?
It's a good pick. I can see it happening. They're in the sixth seed right now, but that's tied record with the Nuggets. So, yeah. And you said it, like, the healthy players are coming back. Nurk should be on the way back. CJ played today. I do like it, but they really have to climb up. I think for Dame to get it, they have to really be a top two seed.
Yeah.
I don't think if they're in the third seed, it will be quite enough. And another thing as well, like, I guess, Steph Curry out in Golden State is statistically having pretty much the same season as Damian Lillard.
Yeah,
which
they're pretty close.
To some degree can work against him. Because he probably has a slight better supporting cast than what Steph is dealing with right now. So that probably hurts him a little bit.
I can see that. The only thing that I would say is that the supporting cast hasn't been there for the entire season. I think that with CJ and Nurk in there, yes, it's clear. But without those two players, I think that it's pretty close. Like, you know, you've still got Draymond over there, you know, at Golden State, and they've got some, you know, decent scoring wings. So without those other two players in Portland, I think Damian's had a really good season thus far. And to your point on the standings, you talked about Phoenix Suns, you know, being able to take that number one seed. Portland Trailblazers are only three games behind Phoenix Suns in the win column. They're not that far behind. We've seen big fluctuations happen. So they could even catch Phoenix, really. There's still a lot of season to play, like literally half. So there's still plenty of time for them to move up the standings, especially when they get healthy. Just quickly, who was your second one? Who was your second dark horse?
Who was my second dark horse?
Hit me.
It's my guy, Jimmy Butler. It's a dark horse. I'll say that. But he's been killing it. And let me put up the argument.
He's been playing well. I'll give him that.
His team made the NBA Finals last season, right? I feel like, yes. I understand that's not for the MVP award, but the whole storyline is there. Everyone's got a bit of a soft spot for him. In the past couple weeks, he has been putting up 26, 7, and 8 with over three steals a game, which is, you know, numbers similar to what LeBron's putting up, and LeBron's in the MVP discussion. So that's my first point. Second point is you know how it can be to your advantage when you lose a bit of time?
Yep.
That's worked. That's definitely in his hand, because you may remember Miami Heat were out of the playoffs a few weeks
ago. Yeah, they were dead in the water, weren't they?
They were not even in the play-in tournament. I think they're only 11th.
No, they were 13th or 12th or something crazy.
Exactly. And since Jimmy's come back, I mean, they're 9-1 in that past 10. They've got a 5-game winning streak.
They're on a roll.
He's winning them the games, and he's putting up these ridiculous numbers. We know he's a leader. He's also a closer. So if he maintains what he's been doing for the past couple weeks and Miami keep winning games, and I think they will, like, they're a good team. They're finally healthy. So if they climb up the Eastern Conference, right now they're in the fourth seed. And they're only, what, 5 games behind the Nets in the second? If they get like a 1-2 seed, I can see it. Like, he's got to be an honorable mention at least.
Well, if we look in total, not just at the conferences, Heater, they're 11th in the league in terms of record. So, but they have missed a chunk of games due to COVID. So they played less games than a lot of other teams. So that is working sort of in Jimmy's favor. But yeah, I think it's another long shot.
It's a dark horse.
Yeah. But I like it. Look, you've got to give a shout out to the Heat. They've been playing really, really well. And, you know, Bam's been in and out of the lineup. You know, Jimmy's missed a couple games here and there. So, you know, just doing Heat things and winning basketball. And I think Eric Spoelstra is putting together another great coaching season. So, I don't hate it, but yeah, just it's a long shot. my second guy was James Harden. I think he's been, you know, leading the league in assists. On the Nets, they're playing really well. Obviously, Durant's been out. You know, you've got Kyrie there. I understand probably means that he won't get the award. But I just still think he's up there and playing much better basketball than we've seen him play at sort of the Rockets before, just because he's got some actual desire for him to do so now. So I think I'll just give him a shout out that he should be somewhere in the discussion as well on a you know, dynamic Nets team.
He was definitely on my list. He's putting up numbers kind of similar to there was that one season he lost the MVP to Russell Westbrook because Russ put up the triple-double. But that was
garbage,
when he was putting up his kind of like 30 and like, you know, 11 assists. He's getting those assists again, which look pretty damn impressive. Yeah. So, I mean, the past...
I think he should have... I was just going to say, he should have won that year when Russell Westbrook got it.
Yeah, looking back on it and the numbers that he put up, it wasn't quite crazy. A triple-double, but his team's record was a lot better. And he was the absolute motor. And I don't know, like, that Nets team looks pretty scary. And this is without Kevin Durant as well.
Yes.
Which is interesting. Yeah. He's obviously missed a lot of time. He's not going to be in the MVP discussion. Kyrie has been killing it. I feel like if people were going to vote for a Nets player, though, let's say they finished first in the East. If they were going to vote for someone at this point, it would be James Harden. So I think it's a good shout out.
I think he's been the best player on their team, you know, just with the fact that Durant's been injured, and I think just the assist numbers just boosts him over Kyrie over, even though he's scoring a little bit more. You know, James Harden's still scoring 25 points a game. Like, it's not like he's not putting up points. But yeah, those assists will sort of push him over his teammate Kyrie Irving. All right, well, let's move on. We'll stop talking about regular NBA and we'll talk NBA fantasy. And this is going to be our big segment for the podcast today, because there's been a lot of young players in particular putting their hand up as hot pickups recently. We're going to go through a few different names here. I'll rattle through them, and then we're going to go through them one at a time, just to sort of highlight what we think they're going to be like for the rest of the season. And then after that, we're going to rank them in terms of who's a priority pickup. If you had to pick up one and you only had one sort of spot to drop to pick them up, who should you pick up first? So these are the hot players that we've identified. There's nine really that I think have put their hand up since the All-Star break. And that is Kevin Porter Jr., Moses Brown, Danilo Gallinari, Thomas Satoransky, Kelly Olynyk, my boy Alexei Pokuševski, Emmanuel Quickley, KJ Martin Jr., and Robert Williams, the Time Lord. Just before we get diving into those sort of names, who stands out to you there, Cal?
I was really jealous because I'm pretty sure you picked him up as well in our tournament.
Yeah.
You did, in fact. Because I went to go get him and you already swiped him from me. But Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah.
of the Houston Rockets is yelling at me. He's been playing very well, averaging a lot of assists as well, which is, as you know, hard to come by. In the past 7 days, it's 18 points, 8.3 assists, and then the 1.5 steals and 1.3 blocks.
Yeah.
So he's doing a bit of everything for you. His percentages, field goal's only been 42%, but he's put up a lot of shots, like 17 attempts a game. It, to me, is promising just to know that the coach is putting trust into him and telling him. He's got the green light, and when a player has the green light, you know he's going to put up stats. He might have some lows, some bad games, but in a week-to-week kind of comp, I'm feeling pretty confident. I would love to have him on my team. So he's probably my number one of all of those guys you mentioned.
Yeah, like, I think he's the clear standout, and his roster percentage reflects that. He's probably likely owned in your league. He's owned in 73% of leagues, and I'm assuming that if you're listening to this podcast, you're switched on, you sort of know what you're doing. But if he is not, 100%, go out and grab this man, because he is going to be someone who could win you your league. Like you said, 8.3 assists in his four games since he's been called up from the G League. The only sort of asterisk there that I will say is that has been without players like John Wall. You know, Eric Gordon has been in and out of the roster. Oladipo is sort of there a little bit. So they're missing a lot of players, the Houston Rockets. Now, they might trade a lot of players too. I think this team is not going anywhere soon. They're going to hit the rebuild very, very quickly. So he might still continue to feature heavily, but this may be a little bit higher than what we see him. But he's probably, I would say, a top 100 player from here on out pretty comfortably. He's going to get you those assists, going to get you those steals. He's, you know, he's averaging 1.3 blocks. That's pretty crazy from a sort of guard sort of player. So, yeah, I would agree to reveal our early sort of ranking order later. Yeah, he is definitely my number one. If he is available, don't hesitate. Pause this podcast. Come back to it later, but go add Kevin Porter Jr. and then come back and listen to the rest. I'll give a shout out to just a guy who we highlighted, and he's got a special place next to my heart, and that is Alexei Pokusevski, someone who we've been hot on from the beginning and highlighted him as someone who's got potential. He had a breakout game a couple of games ago, scoring 23 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a block, 5 threes, hit all his free throws, 53% from the line. It was a monster game. Unfortunately, today he's backed it up with a 4-point performance and 8 rebounds. Still played the 29 minutes, but I think in a 12-team standard category league, he's still probably not worth rostering. Because similar to Kevin Porter Jr., there are a lot of outs with this team at the moment. You've got Darius Bazley out. Al Horford's missed a few games. I'm pretty sure Shea was out for a little bit, and he's back now. I think Lu Dort, he's been missing some time
as
well.
Yeah,
there's a few guys missing. So I can see him taking a hit, and he's just going to be inconsistent, really. So probably not rosterable in 12-team leagues. Maybe in 14-team leagues, you stick with him, and the potential is there. But I probably wouldn't hang on to him in 12-team leagues. What are your thoughts on our boy Poku?
I will say I'm not as high as you are. I know you're a big fan.
Probably not for this year. I'm more big on his potential in the future. Not for this year.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, he had that beautiful, like everyone's talking about it, that 23-point game he put up.
Yeah, huge.
The amazing footwork. A guy who's 7 foot moving like that. But I mean, like he's 190 pounds. He needs to get into the gym to really, you know, put up some big numbers. But I can see the potential's there. If he's a stash in your league, go for it.
Mm. He's been playing like small forward recently, and that's not really that's not going to be his best position. I think he's going to be a power forward or like a point center almost when he fills out, and that's when you're really going to see the potential of Poku come to life. You know, on this Thunder team, he's got the highest potential out of any player. Like, I think his potential is higher than
Shea.
Higher than Shea. You know, his ceiling is just ridiculous. Like, he could be the next, if everything goes right, and this is what I'm saying, like, he could be the next, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, but with a bit of a, you know, Jokic game to him with his passing ability and ball handling. So he's got that kind of potential, I believe. Like I said, probably not this year. He's way too skinny, way too weak, but just definitely a name to keep an eye on. And if you're in Dynasty, I would be just hanging on to him, especially unless you're sort of in that little win now mode. If you can afford to hold a rookie, I would definitely be holding on to Poku. All right, let's run through these some other guys. The next guy who, again, we'll stick in OKC, I want to get your thoughts on Moses Brown, who obviously had a huge game today. I'll let everyone know that I picked him up as a result of this game. But what are your thoughts on Moses Brown, Cal?
He got a lot of blocks, 5 blocks, which is great for fantasy. 20 and 16 as well.
Big.
So pretty crazy numbers. I mean, that's numbers you want from like, you know, a second round kind of draft pick from a big man. So
yeah.
The minutes are a question mark, as we touched on. I'm a little bit worried because I'm Al Horford owner.
Yes.
And I'm a little bit worried that if hypothetically they just do push for the full, if they can't move him, I don't know, there is a buyout candidacy. There's still another year in his contract, so I think it's a little bit unlikely, but it's making me a little bit worried because I don't want Al Horford to lose minutes. So that is a negative if you are an owner, but Moses Brown is definitely worth picking up after that performance, and he should definitely get a bit of a minutes kind of lift moving forward.
Yeah. Yep. I love the look of this guy. I watched most of the game today. He's a big fucking dude. Like this guy, he's a big lanky dude. Like he gets up and down the court though. He's fast, he's mobile, he's lanky. This guy reminds me, like statistically, maybe like a skinny DeAndre Jordan, almost like a bit more mobile Rudy Gobert almost. probably not quite as strong as Rudy Gobert, but that will come with his, when he gets a bit more seasoning into him. Statistically, though, he reminds me of sort of like a Hassan Whiteside back in the day when he broke out for the Heat. You know, he had that breakout second half of the season. I can see, if all the sort of chips align, the same sort of thing happening with Moses here. Obviously, you've got a few more roadblocks in terms of what they do with their lineup. The Thunder suddenly, like, weirdly stacked in their front court. You know, you've got Al Horford, you've got Bazley, you've got Isaiah Roby, you've got Moses, you've got Pokusevski. You know, there's five guys that all need minutes. So, you know, it won't be this good. But I think, you know, if you need field goal percentage, if you need rebounds, blocks, you know, this guy's going to be a great add. So I can see a scenario, however, that, yeah, like you said, I've sort of been preaching it this whole season. I think Al Horford's been a sell high for a long time because I don't think they're going to feature him very heavily down the stretch. And they're obviously trying to trade him, whether or not they are able to, different question. But he's going to rest a lot of games. He's going to sit a lot of games. There might be some fake injuries coming up. and I just see a path for Moses to get minutes. You know, he played alongside Isaiah Roby today. They played them together in the starting lineup. And Pokusevski played the small forward. So that's a way that they're going to be able to get players in there. Maybe Bazley can play a bit of small forward minutes. They don't really care about winning, so they just want to get these players on the court. So I would just grab him now, ask questions later, and see how you go.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with you 100%. Yeah, sad as an Al Horford owner. I'll have to shoot some trades off to some people.
Yeah, quickly before this podcast airs. the other thing I will say is I did drop James Wiseman for Moses, so I armed and ahed about it for a little while. I've been holding on to James Wiseman for the entire season, but just came down to the point where I just don't think Wiseman's upside is the same as Moses, and I can see a clearer path to minutes for Moses than I can for Wiseman. So not saying, you know, you should go and drop Wiseman in your league. He might still have high potential, but for me, I just think, you know, he hasn't shown it yet, and I can't really see it happening too soon for the Warriors, who are trying to make the playoffs. Let's move on to the next guy. Let's talk about an older player now, Danilo Gallinari. I'm going to throw it over to you, Cal, here first. I know we haven't been the biggest Gallinari fans on this podcast, and, you know, for the most of the season, but, you know, you can't deny he's been putting up points. What are your thoughts on Gallo at the moment?
Well, the one knock against him was because I thought he was, you know, going to be coming off the bench and kind of be in a more limited minutes role. But those Atlanta Hawks have been on a bit of a tear recently. They've won six in a row after today, and that's really been a big reason for Danilo Gallinari to have a bit of a breakout at this point for the Atlanta Hawks, because he's obviously affecting winning. So obviously the coach will in turn keep up these minutes. So if he's on your waiver wire, he's definitely worth adding, because I think this looks like it will be maintained. And he's going back to his old ways. He'll give you good points. He'll give you very efficient three throws. He's averaging 3.5 a game over the past couple of weeks, shooting 100%. That's what he does. And then he gets the old counting stats on blocks and steals. Not a whole lot, but he's really just there for the points and the free throws, and he is elite in those two categories. So,
yeah. I have been on record. I don't really like Gallo as a fantasy player. I was down on him at the start of the season, and that was all right. But it looks like, you know, there's some rumblings from the Hawks. You know, John Collins might be on the move. Like, I don't know. They're not too keen on him. And apparently the coach really likes Gallinari. He likes to play in big minutes recently. And he's been putting up numbers, scoring over 20 points 4 out of the last 5 games. Multiple threes in all of those games. 3 or more in every single one. Hasn't missed a free throw in that stretch. So, yeah, elite in those three categories. Low turnovers if you care about that. Don't go expecting any assists, steals, or blocks. You know, that's just not going to happen. But, you know, I think he's definitely should be rostered. He's rostered in 69% of leagues. So he is, you know, on the higher compared to all of his other players. But, you know, if you do see him on your waiver, I would pick him up if you're looking for those stats, because he's definitely going to help you there. Let's move on to another older guy, point guard this time, Tomas Satoransky. What are your thoughts on Tomas?
Well, he got the start today, played a good game. He can get assists, And I feel like that's why you get him. You get him because he can get an assist, and he doesn't really hurt you too much in other areas. He'll get a bit of points, a bit of rebounds because he's a tall guard. I guess he, for what you're getting, he does get a bit of turnovers, but obviously a lot of punt turnover builds are out there. I think it could be a bit of a short-term ad, is my opinion.
Do you think? Okay. See, I'm a bit on the fence here. Now, they've made the switch the last two games for Coby White out for Satoransky, and I think this might be a permanent one. We talked a little bit before on our trade rumor podcast that the Bulls don't seem to really think that Coby White is like their point guard of the future. They think of him more of a six-man sort of role. So this might be the move they make. The only thing that might sort of come into this, I think, if they trade for another point guard, which is a possibility. So we'll do our rankings a bit later on. He's a bit further down my list, but, you know, he's going to be an efficient scorer, you know, 50% both his last two games, good free throw percentage. He's going to get steals, assists at a good rate, you know, 7 in the last two games since he's been starting. He played 30 minutes today compared to Coby White, who played fewer minutes. So I think, definitely, if you need those point guard stats, he's someone you should scoop up immediately. And he is only rostered in 15% of leagues, which is crazy low, the lowest of all of these players, which really surprised me, to be honest. So he will probably be available in your league. So I would quickly go and scoop him up if you need some of those assist steals, good percentages. Points are not going to be there in high volume, but, you know, he's going to fill up the stat sheet in other ways as well. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Tomas Satoransky, and I think he will stick moving forward.
I'll say one quick fantasy, I guess, comparison for him would be, to some degree, Lonzo Ball, but without the three-pointers.
Yeah, probably fewer three-pointers.
Like, you know, the 12, 5, and 5 yep. with, like, a steal a game, well, which is pretty much what Lonzo puts up. It's just that the threes aren't quite there. So, but there is still value in him.
I will say he'll be much more efficient than Lonzo as well, though. His field goal percentage and free throw percentage will be much more efficient, and probably not quite the blocks that Lonzo gets. Lonzo does get a few for a guard. But yeah, that's a good comparison in terms of like that bigger sort of player, get your rebounds, get your steals and assists, low scoring. Let's move on to the next guy. We're talking Kelly Olynyk from the Miami Heat. He's been on a tear recently. Do you want to guess what Kelly Olynyk, without looking, has been ranked in the last 2 weeks?
I've already looked it up. I think it is.
Okay.
Is it four?
Not quite. Sixth over the last couple of weeks. Absolutely crazy. This guy is on fire. You know, it's a 5-game sample size, but, you know, this dude, he's putting up numbers. What are your thoughts on Kelly?
He's doing it all. He's getting 2 steals a game, 1.2 blocks, low turnovers. Great percentages. There's no fault to him over the past
there's
5 games.
No fault in his statistical categories. So he's been putting up numbers. Obviously, he's been starting all season, but the last sort of 5 games, yeah, it's just been absolutely on fire, sort of coinciding with that All-Star break. So maybe he's revigorated, ready to go. He had a couple of games where he was playing without Bam Adebayo, but today's game, Bam was back. Still put up this gem of a line, 17, 8, 4, 3 steals, 2 blocks, no turnovers, hit a 3, very efficient from the field goals. So, you know, I reckon you add him and see how it goes. You know, he's probably lower down the list for me. What are your thoughts in terms of compared to these other guys?
I reckon he's high on the list for me. I put the waiver yep. through to try and add him, but unfortunately I didn't get my hands on him, which I was a bit sad about because he's a good fit for my team. With what he's putting up, he doesn't hurt anyone's team as well. So he's definitely worth adding.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had a squeeze at it. I had a look, but unfortunately I couldn't get in there because the player I wanted to drop had already played today. So that got picked up before I had a chance to get in there. So I definitely wanted him. I think he'll do well. Like the good thing about him, I think he's going to start the rest of the season. You know, his minutes are going to be there solid. There might be ups and downs. I don't think he's going to perform this well, obviously. But he should be, you know, thereabouts the top 100 moving forward. And again, someone who is not rostered in probably enough leagues. He is currently rostered in, just lost it for a quick second, 52% of leagues. So have a look around. If you need a big man, give you threes, give you assists from the big man position. He'll get you decent steals, solid percentages. low turnovers, just a very, you know, not going to hurt you anywhere kind of player. All right, let's move on to another rookie. I'll throw it over to you for your thoughts on this guy. Emmanuel Quickley, Cal. What are your thoughts on Quickley?
I think he's a must-add. I like his game. He's very much kind of like... He's obviously points is why you would be getting him. I guess he's low on turnovers as well, but he's good for points. He's good fit for like a punt field goal build because he only shoots about 40% from the field. But I like his game. Over the past couple weeks, he's putting about 18 points together. He's one of those guys who might have a quiet night and then go off for like 25 or so. So he's worth having. He gets the three-pointers as well. His free throws are really solid. For the season, he's shooting 90%. He's pretty... And that's on about... You know, it's over three attempts a game, so that's definitely affecting your team positively. So there's probably three or four categories you're getting boosted, and for a waiver wire guy, that's definitely worth having.
Yeah, I think, look, the big hype has come around the fact that he started the last two games, obviously. He's had moments of brilliance throughout the season, showing flashes. He's got high scoring potential, had a few games with 25-plus points with multiple threes. I might be a little bit lower on him than you, which is funny because I'm the one that added him. He obviously had that back-to-back game, so I was using that as a bit of a sort of test and see. He was okay. Like you say, he puts up points. Obviously, he shoots threes. You know, on the season, he's good for free throw percentage. Missed a few recently, but that will correct. But outside of that, he's a bit empty. You know, he doesn't give you many assists. He doesn't give you barely gives you any rebounds. No blocks at all. You know, low steals. So for that reason, I rank him a bit lower than some of these other guys. And if you need points and threes, then sure, go and grab him. I would rank him behind someone like a Gallinari, however. Just because I am a bit worried with Elfrid Payton coming back, Derrick Rose coming back, that his role might be reduced a little bit. I'm thinking the Knicks are going to be buyers at the trade deadline. Whether or not I think that's the right thing to do or not is a different question, but I think they'll be looking to bring in talent. So he's a bit down the list in terms of priority for me for these guys. But yeah, definitely someone to look at. But it wouldn't surprise me if he's back to the bench soon. When some of those other guys are back, Tibbs is pretty stubborn that way.
Yeah, the sample size of him and Derrick Rose hasn't been huge, like for them coming off the bench. So you're still not too sure how it will affect him, if it's going to be drastic or not. But I still got a bit of hope there. I think he's a good player. He'll get some shots in for sure.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next guy. KJ Martin Jr. So another Houston Rocket. That place is sort of changing over there in H-Town. But what are your thoughts on Martin Jr. here, mate?
He's been looking good. He had that 21-point game, and he's getting defensive stats as well. So he had 15 and 10. He had a 21 and 4. And if you look at his averages over the past couple of weeks, it's, you know, the 1.3 steals and the 1.8 blocks are very beneficial for any team, especially those blocks. Those blocks are elite in that category. And even the percentages, I mean, field goals, about 52%, and the free throws are above 70, so it's not hurting you drastically. He is actually taking a reasonably high percentage at 3.8, does affect you if you're only shooting 73, so it's probably a slight negative. But otherwise, I mean, look, 14 and 7 is his average for the past couple of weeks, which is really since he started really being brought into the lineup himself. So I think he's definitely worth adding this Houston Rockets team. I think they've lost, 17 games in a row now. So I think their direction's pretty clear. They're not going to make the playoffs. It's probably just going to be pushed for more the youth movement. So towards the playoff side of the fantasy basketball world, I think he will be pretty helpful.
Yeah, what the fuck's going on over at this G League, man? Like, I swear, so many of these players have like come back from the G League and just like lighting the league on fire. Kevin Porter Jr., you know, Alexei Pokusevski, KJ Martin Jr., Moses Brown. Like, what are they doing in the G League over in that bubble, man? Like, like, what's happening? But I think, look, the big thing here, playing 31 and a half minutes since sort of coming back from the G League, like you said, defensive stats are there. You know, 1.3 steals, 1.8 blocks. That's where the money is. Good percentages. I wonder what he's going to be like when Christian Wood is back playing minutes. Although, you know, I think he can play alongside Christian Wood. I think that they're going to be heavily featuring him, Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, and trying to trade the rest of the team, basically. So I think those guys, those four players, are going to be their big sort of featured players moving forward. So I think he's a strong add, especially if you need some solid percentages and field goals, some rebounds and some steals and blocks. I think he's going to get you those sort of things. So he's definitely a strong add, I feel. Last one we'll quickly touch on, and it's from my hometown, not my hometown, but the team I barrack for, the Boston Celtics, and it's the Time Lord, Robert Williams. Now, he's not really a hot pickup in terms of recency compared to these other guys, except for the fact that Tristan Thompson is out due to COVID protocols. So that gives the Time Lord a good chunk of time here to prove himself worthy and to potentially win over, if not a starting role, more minutes in the Celtics rotation. And we know, based on previous videos that we've done, that this guy is a permanent beast. And if he gets the opportunity, he will play excellent fantasy basketball. What's your thoughts on Robert Williams moving forward?
Block City. He's reminding me a bit of Mitchell Robinson from the last couple seasons.
Yep, I get those vibes too.
Great field goal and really, really elite in blocks. Over the past couple weeks, he's averaging 3.5 blocks a game. So that is a huge spike. And while he's also putting up your 73% field goal pretty casually, which is a huge boost.
Huge boost, yeah.
And then just, you know, a 10-8 kind of, you know, points and rebound stats. So there's a lot of positives there. But the blocks and the field goal is one of those things that really boost any team. He's ranked 25th on Yahoo for the past couple of weeks. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's 2 weeks, but it's really four games based on the fact that it's been since the All-Star break. But yeah, still, like, this guy, and that's in 20 minutes, you know, 10-8, 10-8, 3.5 blocks, 73% field goal, like you said, 80% free throws, low turnovers. In 20 minutes, like, imagine this guy gets like 28 minutes a night. Like, this dude is going to be just an absolute beast. So I another one I think you definitely need to have on your roster. He is owned in 56% of leagues, so he's on the higher end compared to some of these other guys, so he might be taken in your league. And he has been doing this for basically the entire season, but just now with the extended run, he's going to have a bit more opportunity with Tristan Thompson out for a while. And I don't know if, you know, maybe he doesn't give that job back once Thompson gets back, and potentially there's a trade opening up at Celtics. I think he could either be traded or be the beneficiary of a trade to get more minutes. There's a bit of a push in Boston to sort of see this guy get more minutes moving forward. And I think it will happen. So I would definitely be holding on to the Time Lord if you can. All right, let's go through these players and just... I'll throw it up to you, Cal. Who is, in terms of your ranking, start 1 through 9, we've got 9 players here, who is the priority to add, just in terms of total value for yourself? And how do you break it down?
I'm going out for Kevin Porter Jr. That's what I want it on my team. I think this will be maintained. It'll be worthwhile in the playoffs scheme of things for fantasy. He'll get shots. He's going to have some downs, yes, but his up weeks could be this turning point in a playoff series. So.
Who have you got second?
I got Danilo Gallinari as my
number two. Interesting. Yep.
Just because, as I mentioned before, they're on a 5-game winning streak, and it's really because Danilo's getting a lot of minutes. So that gives me a bit of hope that this will actually be maintained, which is the only knock I had against him beforehand, because that Atlanta team was so deep.
Yeah.
And I know they still have a couple injuries, which is why he is also getting a lot of minutes, but... he is a very good fan. He's ranked 5th over the past couple of weeks.
We talked about Olynyk, you know, being highly ranked. Gallinari is ranked higher by one spot.
Exactly. I mean, his preseason rank of 81, I thought that was too high, but with the injuries that happened with Atlanta, I guess it's looking like a good pickup. So he would be my number 2.
Yeah. Okay. Who have you got number 3?
Number 3 would have to be Emmanuel Quickley. Might be a bit early for him, to be honest, because you went super high, but I think there's a solid role for him. He's, as I said, he's only really points, but sometimes you need points, and for a waiver wire guy,
That is it's hard to find. It is hard to find points, especially as a category. It's not something you can really stream through off your waiver wire. So I do see the value in that. I have him a bit further down. Might even drop him in our league, so you might be able to pick him up soon. But I think I've got a few others ahead of him, just in terms of total value moving forward. Who have you got at number four?
I've got the timekeeper, Robert Williams at
time
four.
Time Lord, bro.
The Time Lord, I apologize.
Yeah, Time Lord, there you go.
To all the Celtics fans out there.
Yeah, no, I couldn't let that slide.
The Time Lord, Robert Williams. Just those blocks are so elite.
Yeah.
Such a carry in the field goal, so that's a huge boost in two categories, which is massive.
I had him as a top three pickup in my ranking as well. Who have you got fifth?
Fifth, I got Moses Brown, just to test the waters. Could go either way, but that game he had was such a standout, you can't not spin the dice on him.
I agree. I've got him ranked very highly on my list. Going to number six.
I have KJ Martin Jr.
Yep.
Well, once again, I feel like him and Moses Brown are pretty similar. You spin the dice on them. You could probably mix and match either of them, whichever better fits your team. They both have risk. They both definitely have a bit of risk and great upside. So,
yeah. Okay, I like it.
Otherwise, moving into seven, I went to Satoransky. Pretty much just hoping that he's going to maintain these minutes. But I feel like that's not as guaranteed. I don't know. The Kobe White sitch, maybe this is for good, in which case Satoransky would be a great pickup. But he'd be my number seven. And number eight would be Pokuševski. Just because I'm not as high as you are on him. He's definitely a bit more of a project. I think that rounds it out. Or did I miss someone?
I think you missed Kelly Olynyk.
I missed Big Kelly. You'd have to throw Kelly up there. He'd probably be around the two or three.
You've got him quite high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I agree. Pokuševski is my last. I actually don't think you should bother picking him up if you're in a standard league. So I just wanted to mention him on a podcast because I am big on him and I've mentioned him before. So I would go something similar. I would go Kevin Porter Jr., clearly number one. And I've sort of ranked these in tiers. So I've got a tier of a top three who I think you absolutely go out, add them, drop who you have to get these players in your side because they could win you your league. Kevin Porter Jr. is one of them. I've actually got Moses Brown at number two. I think this guy could be legit. I think this could be especially if you need those categories. This could be the Hassan Whiteside or the Christian Wood kind of player that like changes your league because his statistical profile is just so elite. He doesn't need that many minutes to be relevant. I think OKC is just tanking and he's going to feature very heavily. And I, just from watching him, man, he just looks like a freak athlete. I like Moses Brown.
He does the eye test. That's important.
Yeah, he looks so athletic, man. And then I've got Robert Williams as well. Sort of those two I could see flip-flopping. I see probably more of a path of minutes to Moses Brown than I do Robert Williams, which is why I've given him the edge. When Tristan Thompson is back, there's a bit of question marks in terms of like the trade deadline. So just dropped them down a bit. My next tier is you definitely still want to add these players, but maybe a little bit more suited to if you need these statistical categories. So in this tier, I've got Gallinari. I've got Satoransky at five. I think, like I said, I'm a bit higher on him. I think he's going to stick. I've got KJ Martin Jr. at six, and then probably Kelly Olynyk at seven. Those all in a bit of a group tier. Kelly Olynyk's a bit more of a well-rounded sort of player, so if you just want someone who's not going to hurt you in a few categories, you'd have him there. And then my last two, I've got Emmanuel Quickley and Alexei Pokuševski. Quickley, look, if you need... He's probably maybe a bit better than Pokuševski in terms of this list, but I just think there's some deficiencies in his game, and I think that there is enough reason for me to sort of worry that his role may not be set in stone. So for that reason, I sort of feel like he should be below some of those other guys. So I would prioritize getting the other guys before Quickley sort of there. But he is a bit of a hype guy and is owned in 35% of the league, which is more than some of these other guys moving forward. Definitely more than someone like Satoransky and Moses Brown, who are sort of 20% or lower. So there's some hot players for you guys. Let us know how you go. Let us know if you picked up any of these guys before our podcast or how they go moving forward. Our last segment for today, we've been waffling on for a farewell, so we'll make this fairly quickly. We're talking buy lows and sell highs. Let's start with the buy lows. I'll throw it up to you, Cal. Give us your first one.
I'm going to start with John Collins as a buy low. Just because there's been a bit of a buzz on the whole trade thing. You don't know if he's going to be on the move. He hasn't been performing too well. It was always going to be a bit of a bust for the 21 preseason rank.
Yeah.
His season rank has been 52. A bit underwhelming just in general, but I think there is a world where he gets traded to a team that really do like him and run a fair few more plays for him, which would get him really back up to that 20 and 10 that he was putting up last season.
Yeah. So he's obviously the 80th ranked player the last month, the 69th ranked player the last couple of weeks, putting up about 17 and 9. No assists, no steals, only a 3 a game. His field goal percentage is well down. Still getting you the box, which is all cool. So, but nothing really outstanding there for John Collins. Bit of a risk, I would say. You know, it's hard to know. You know, if this guy is traded, if he goes to a team where he features more or less than the Hawks. So I'd say a little bit of risk involved. I'd say if you're sort of doing all right already, maybe not make that sort of buy low move, but. If you sort of got to make a difference to your team and you're sort of middle of the pack and you want to sort of risk it to get the biscuit, then I think it's a good buy low there.
Yeah, it could go either way. Like if he gets traded, I mean, there's a world I see him just going back to his old ways, 20 and 10.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It could be huge. It could be huge, yeah. But you know, yeah. I mean, this is probably his flaw, I would say. I don't think anyone's trading for John Collins to put him on their bench. So I'd say there's probably more upside than downside, definitely. My first guy, I'll talk about Lauri Markkanen, who is playing really well for the Bulls, has had a few injuries this season and a couple of COVID issues and things like that, but has managed to put together a solid season, scoring three-pointers and field goal percentage, surprisingly being his sort of main categories. On the year, he's averaging nearly 51% field goal percentage, which is well above his sort of career average, which I think is ranking him much higher than he deserves to be. I like him as a player, and I do think he's well, and I think the Bulls seem to like him as well, moving Wendell Carter to the bench instead of him. So that bodes well for his future sort of value, but I just think that field goal percentage is going to come down soon, and if all he's providing you is points and threes and field goal percentage and good free throw, as soon as that field goal comes down, the points are going to come down, the threes are going to come down, and then he's not giving you anything else. He's not giving you assists. He's not giving you steals. He's not giving you blocks. So there's not really anything else to support that value when I think that field goal percentage will drop. What are your thoughts on Lowry?
He had a great poster dunk today.
Oh, huge, yeah. On our boy Moses Brown.
Yeah, exactly. The one and only.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, yeah, he really only helps in kind of, yeah, there's three categories there that you're pretty much punting. He has some positive value for sure. I've kind of been persuaded on the bandwagon for him this season. So
I still think he's a good player, but I think that in terms of fantasy, he's probably, this is his peak, I think. I don't think he's going to get better from here. So see how you go. Who's your next buy low, Cal?
Next buy low is an injured player. He's in John Wall. So
yep.
It's once again, it's a bit of a gamble. He's got an untradeable contract, so he's not going to be traded anywhere, but just the injury stuff. If he does play, he puts up pretty damn good stats. It's just the playing time and the games he missed is really what's hurting. But I mean, for the season, he's put up 21, 3 and 6 with pretty much a steal and close to a block a game. And then if you look at just the past couple of weeks, he's only played a couple of games, but he had that 36-point game, which is pretty much just totally put his stats a bit out of whack. But his past two games, 36 points and 32. So that makes you think he's feeling a bit comfortable.
Yeah.
The owner might be a bit sick and tired of this having injured players. If you're a bit ahead in your league, he's worth trading for, I think, if you can get a good buy low from.
Yeah. You can use his rankings to your advantage. In the last month, he's at a 232nd ranked player. And that's off the back of poor percentages, high turnovers, and sort of lack of rebounds and steals. But the points, the assists are going to be there. If he's healthy, he's they're hopeful that he's going to return next game for the Houston Rockets. So he's not going to miss much more time, if any, moving forward. So if the owner's sick of being injured, you could come in, scoop him up, and then he's back to playing. Might still rest back-to-backs. In fact, he probably will rest back-to-backs, so you've got to keep that in mind come playoff time. But I think you could get him pretty cheap with a lot of movement in Houston going away from players like John Wall. The owner might be sort of a bit scared of the likes of Kevin Porter Jr. and things like that stealing his role. So, which I think he'll still play. He'll still be their starting point guard when he's out there. But yeah, I do think that he is going to be, you know, not the John Wall that, you know, we might have drafted at the start of the season, but still better than the 232nd ranked player. All right, I'll throw it over to my last buy low, and that is Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics. We called Marcus Smart a bit of a bargain come draft time, and he sort of underperformed a little bit this year. I mean, he's still giving you the 13 points, you know, nearly three rebounds a game, 5.5 assists, 1.5 steals. So they're all still good numbers. Obviously, the field goal percentage is always his thing for him. So that makes his ranking look a lot worse. But typically, if you want to own Marcus Smart, you're going to buy him as a, you know, punt field goal percentage guy. And the last couple of weeks, he's been returning back from that injury, has been coming off the bench a little bit. But I think Kemba Walker is going to rest the next game. He's going to be back in the starting lineup, and I don't think that he's going to give it up from there. Had a couple of poor games the last few, only scoring 5 points in the last two games. So I think the owner would be very frustrated. I think you can get a good bargain. And basically what he's averaging on the season, I think he'll continue to average moving forward with those elite steal numbers. He'll get you assists. He'll get you some threes. So I still think he's a good player to have if you're punting field goal percentage.
Yeah, that's a good pick, and that's the main thing. You gotta really consider the field goal and punt that when you have him, because he does put up a reasonable amount of attempts. But
yeah,
he's great in steals. That's probably his best category. So that's a big up in that category there.
Half a block from your point guard is also, you know, it's something to take note of. And low turnovers, that turnover to assist ratio is pretty juicy. 1.6 turnovers to 5.5 assists. So that's something that I like to see. And I think this is definitely his floor. I think he can only get better from here. All right, let's move on to sell high. Who have you got? Sell high. Sorry, who have you got? Who have you got for sell high?
My first sell high is Big Willie Barton.
Big Will Barton, hit me.
He's been killing it recently. And do you want to guess how many threes he's been putting up the past couple of weeks?
No, I have not. He's not been on my radar. Let me know.
Has been on your radar? 4.3. 3 points.
Has he really? There you go.
20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.3 steals, 0.8 blocks, shooting about 52% from the field. So he has been an absolute hot streak. It's one of the reasons, one of the minor reasons, I guess, that those Denver Nuggets have been boosted recently and getting a pretty good record. The reason I think he's a good sell high is obviously, firstly, this is not sustainable. And secondly, I mean, look, he's 33 ranked over the past 14 days. The other thing as well, I think the Nuggets may be moving people. There's rumors. So his starting position could be maybe in doubt a little bit. So that's something to consider. So right now would be a time to sell him if you do have him.
I think it's a great option. Like, I've never really been a big Will Barton fan personally. That's why he hasn't been on my radar. But just looking at his stats of the last few weeks, he's been killing it. And I think, you know, Gary Harris is still to come back into this team as well as someone who will definitely affect his minutes. Not sure exactly when he's supposed to be back, but I don't think he's too far away. And I think Michael Porter Jr. is coming into his role. We spoke about him a few times on the podcast, but I think he's definitely improving. And I think from that starting lineup, Will Barton will be the one to go and not MPJ. So I think that's a great sell high. I've also just realized that I was speaking about Larry Markin in our buy low candidate segment, and obviously I meant him as a sell high. So just swap that over when we're talking about buy lows and sell highs. I did mean Larry Markin as a sell high and not a buy low. I'll go on to my next sell high, and then I might bring it right back to my other buy low. And my other sell high is Robert Covington. I think he is going to be negatively impacted by the fact, firstly, that CJ McCollum is back, number one, but more importantly, the fact that Nurkic is going to be coming back soon. They've been playing, you know, him as a bit of a small ball five at times, playing him as a power forward a bit more. And I think, you know, there's rumors that LaMarcus Aldridge might even be coming back to this team. I think that there is just a few red flags to say that he is going to drop in value. The biggest thing that's buoying his value is the blocks, the steals, and obviously the threes. I think the threes are going to be fine. I think the steals, you know, might drop a tiny bit, but not too bad. But those blocks are definitely going to come back down. And if you remember at the start of the season, he was absolutely awful. He was not rosterable. But, you know, obviously he's salvaged that value recently. And in the last couple of weeks, he's the 28th ranked player, you know, on the back of those defensive stats. And I just don't think that is sustainable. If you can get anything in the top 50 for Robert Covington, I would do that instantly. Those memories of the sort of outside the top 200 player, you know, at the start of the season are pretty fresh still in my head.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who he could put up the very rare kind of two threes, two steals, two blocks, or close to that every game, which is super rare in fantasy. And he's had some kind of glimpses of it recently, which would maybe give some people hope, because I was even pretty high on him at the draft. Like, I would have taken him on my team. And, I mean, looking at it, he is kind of back to his old ways. It's just you kind of have to punt points when you have him.
Yeah, he's not a scorer. Yeah,
so he does hurt you in a couple categories.
Yeah. Yeah, on the season, he's obviously averaging less than, you know, the 40%. But in the last couple of weeks, he's averaging 46% shooting. So I think that will come back down as well, closer to that low 40s mark, to sort of even things out. But yeah, I'm worried about a few inclusions coming back into this side that will affect his production. So I would see if I can get some value back from him. Give me your last sell high here, Cal.
And my last sell high is Trez Harrell. He's been playing really well. 41st ranked over the past month. And I feel like he's probably only really a sell high if your team is doing pretty well right now, because he's obviously going to maintain this while Anthony Davis is gone. But the one scary thought is Anthony Davis gets back just before the playoff kind of time, and all of his stats, I think, will diminish a bit, because his role is you know, with Anthony Davis out, he's obviously got a fair few minutes. There's a lot more plays running through him. So if you're a bit ahead in fantasy, he could definitely be a sell high to someone who knows that Anthony Davis is out, and he can definitely have some value for the next, you know, 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, I love this one. I think also the Anthony Davis factor is there, but I also think there's been a lot of rumors, as there always is for the Lakers for whatever reason, that of trades, players coming in. They're apparently looking for some centers or some big men. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge's name's been floated out there. Some other sort of names are out there as well. Linked to the Lakers, so obviously any other big man that comes into this side is going to negatively impact Montrezl Harrell. And he's pretty shallow in terms of what he contributes. It's points, field goal percentage, and rebounds. You know, a trickle of steals and blocks here and there. But outside of that, there's no threes at all. Free throw percentage is not good. No assists. Someone who I think you can definitely sort of get some value back. I'll circle it all the way back to my buy low, which I failed to mention before. And that is one of your boys, Cal, Paul George. I think you can buy him low, because I think he's been underperforming recently. Had that hot start to the season, but recently has been sort of struggling. Lower in points, his, you know, field goal percentage has dropped away. He started very hot in terms of that category at the start of the season, but the last couple of weeks he's the 196th ranked player, which is pretty startling. It's obviously three games. If I expand that out to the last 30 days, last month, he's the 74th ranked player. Obviously, that's on the back of sort of the steals have dropped down. You know, the field goal percentage has dropped. The points are down a little bit as well. So I still think he's going to be better than this. He's probably a first, if not second round player. So if you can get him for someone, you know, close to that 30 or 40 mark, I think that's a big win.
Yeah, it's almost like he's it's playoff P.
Nah, what's going on?
He was almost in the 50-50-90 club for like the first month of the season. He was red hot, getting great steals. I think it was, I knew he was going to have to come down and get back to earth. So he's in a bit of a cold spell. but I still believe he's going to he'll turn it back up. And I am hopeful, but he's been hurting me a bit, I'll be honest. He hasn't been great. So he's a good buy low candidate right now. But but then again, he was so hot to begin the season. You still have to pretty good offer out there because he was a top 10 player for a while.
Yeah. So. Look, yeah, I think you're going to have to offer something good, but let's say you offer who's someone that we've talked about in our sort of sell high. I don't know, probably not anyone that we talked about, but let's say you offer someone who's like a third or fourth round value. You might be able to get him off someone's hand. Would you do like a, you know, LaMelo Ball for a Paul George, someone who's sort of a bit of a flavor of the month, you know, something like that. I would definitely do if I, you know, obviously I'm the LaMelo Ball owner and you're the Paul George owner.
I definitely need more.
Yeah. I think you're a bit smarter. Yeah. You're a bit smarter than that, but some people might sort of be, you know, enticed by that. So give it a shot. And I think you could come away with a bit of a steal there. So yeah, there's the buy low, sell high segment. That'll do it for today. Thanks for listening again, guys. If you are listening on YouTube, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers, so let your mates know about it. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell. Let us know how your fantasy team's going in the comments. If you have any questions, let us know. We try to get to them as many as we can. Follow us on Twitter, or follow myself on Twitter, at BallBoysNBA. And if you have any questions, you can hit us up on there. We are also posting a few up-to-date things when, you know, Moses Brown goes off. I'll let everyone know that, hey, I have this guy right now. And you can sort of beat the pack to it and not wait for the next podcast. But otherwise, we'll catch you next week. See ya.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.